welcome to another episode of Thinking
Outside the Box.
So excited to be here. We are at the Dawes County Fairgrounds in Chatter, Nebraska. So we're excited to be off-site today. And I'm excited about the guest we have today, the ag lender in Chatter, Chris Pyle. Hi, Chris.
Good to be here, Jill. How are you?
Glad to have you. Glad to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself for those that don't know you.
Sure. So I'm a little bit of a non-trad in the business. I was farming and ranching for the last 20 years out south of town, about 20 miles.
Okay.
And when they built the bank here, Rob gave me a call and asked if I'd be interested in a position. And so I heard what he had to say and thought it was a good deal. And it's been a great fit so far.
Awesome.
Been here about 3 years now. And I'm a swine superintendent here, the Dawes County Council President, and so a fair week's a bit of a busy week for us here.
Oh, thank you for squeezing us in this week.
Oh, of course. How fast. Always enjoy the time with you.
You are a busy guy. So, okay, well, let's get started. We're going to talk about ag lending. Chris is going to give us the know about a lot of great things. We're going to wait on the drink because we are going to find fair food or a fair drink next. So, okay, let's start with our questions, though.
Perfect.
Okay, so can you explain what ag lending is and also how it differs from traditional lending or consumer lending?
Sure, be happy to. So with ag lending, we focus primarily around here, especially on production agriculture.
Yes.
Your cow-calf operations, your yearling operators, farming, anything to do with that. Some of the things that make agriculture a little bit different or maybe a little more difficult than your commercial lending, there's a lot more factors that play into agriculture. You know, it's kind of a high risk, low reward. It's not a business you can just start in your garage and build that from there. You know, it takes a lot of capital to get going.
Yes.
We're at the mercy of microeconomic local issues as well as macroeconomics. Everything that happens in Brazil, if they have a bumper wheat crop or they don't, you've got tens of thousands of dollars invested into your crop and one hailstorm can wipe it out. And so those are kind of the things that offset a little bit of commercial lending. You don't have those... There's those factors in there. So
you're at the mercy of Mother Nature. I mean,
everything plays a role into it. Your heat units for the day. You know, today's a cloudy day. The corn's not going to grow a whole lot. You know, we got a good rain last night, but we need heat units to fill those ears. Yeah. Every little thing has an effect on it. Every weather pattern.
Yeah, it's raining so much you can't go work on your wheat like you want to. Like all those things.
Yes, you can't get planted on time or into harvest on time. It's just everything affects it.
You have to have a really good relationship with farmers and ranchers and
yes.
Be understanding of those type of elements and those things.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So, okay, great. Okay, so let's talk about what we do at Platte Valley. We offer three types of loans for ag. Can you tell us about those types?
Sure. So the three primary, you know, we have our ag real estate loans, which is, you know, pretty self-explanatory. You know, your loans for your real estate, so you have something to plant into.
Absolutely.
Or raise those cattle on.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to need your breeding livestock and equipment to operate that. So we'll offer those services as well. And then, of course, your operating loan. You know, it takes a lot of working capital to get through a production cycle. And so we're able to offer that service as well.
That's great. And then you do something special for new farmers starting out, right?
We do. We have a beginning farm ranch program. Especially when coupled with something like the FSA, our program offers for beginning farmers and ranchers with less than 5 years of experience, a little bit of extended terms on the loans, a little bit of an interest rate reduction to help them get started, and just to ease up on those payments for them a little bit for their first few years until they get established, and then it'll kick into a traditional terms. And
yeah, it's very hard to get started.
It's very hard, you know, especially the way things are going now. We're having record cattle prices.
Yeah.
And it's getting harder and harder to get ground. You know, the big operators, they'll come in and pay a little more than what a young guy starting out can. So unless you have some type of family support, it makes it very difficult. And that's why we give these breaks for the beginning farmers and ranchers, is to help them get a foothold and get started. Because we want the energy generations to come back. You know, we're in the middle now of the baby boomers. We're going to be in a big change here, a big generational turnover.
Yeah.
And these younger folks that want to come back.
Some didn't stay.
Right.
Helped dad farm and things like that. So.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Good answer there. So what are some of the best practices for building trust with farmers and ranchers that you think, anyways?
Sure. So, you know, the main thing I think with anybody is just to be genuine. You know, be yourself. Have their best interests as mine, as well as the bank's. You know, just be fair and honest with them. You've got to spend some time with these guys and take a genuine interest in the operation and understand it. And don't be afraid to sweat with them a little bit. You know, come out here and get dirty pushing pigs at fair.
Yeah.
Or, you know, come out and run the great carn for them for a day. Just to show a genuine interest and work side by side with them. That really does build a relationship with these guys and a level of trust that hopefully will keep them coming back for years and years.
Yeah, you have to build relationships that way so they trust you. They know you know what you're talking about. You really are interested in him.
Correct.
You're building a friendship with them.
Right.
So that's good.
Yes.
That's great. Good answer. Okay, so what challenges do aglenders face that associates might not realize? I think you kind of covered that, but tell us a little more.
Sure. So a lot of the challenges are, you know, just the cost to play the game. Like I said before, you know, a high risk, kind of a low reward, you know, very asset rich, but cash flow poor. You know, these guys don't typically live off of a lot. They pay themselves very minimally for the efforts that they put in.
Uh-huh.
The economies of size and scale, for instance, you know, if you've got a guy that's farming 1,000 acres and he only profits $1 an acre at the end of the year, you can't make a living off of that. If you're farming 100,000 acres, well, you can live off that $1 an acre.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's what's hard for these guys to get going, you know. Just the volatile market situations that we're in now, you know, you've got to be able to protect yourself some, you know, through price protection of some sort and insurance, and it just costs too much to wing it anymore, you know.
Yeah.
It used to be 80 years ago, if you worked hard, you could make it. It's not so much anymore. You've got to be a businessman alongside.
Agreed.
Your work ethic.
Even one tractor part can cost thousands of dollars for a part that's this big.
Correct.
I mean,
you could have a 30-year-old combine and it's a $1,500 tire.
Yeah. You know? It's crazy.
It is.
Okay. So what is the most rewarding part of working in this field? What do you think?
So the most rewarding part for me is seeing these younger generations start out.
Yeah.
You know, they may come here from another bank in a little bit of trouble or needing guidance or haven't received that guidance. And so when you can take them and you see them succeed that first year, and then you see them succeed that second year, that's the most rewarding part for me. And even coming in here to the fair and seeing these kids start out with a project and helping them figure, okay, what's your break-even price on this? Are you here to show an animal? Are you here to learn?
Yeah, that's great.
How to function properly on the farm, you know? And so that's the rewarding part for me, is seeing these kids learn and grow. And so they will be successful when they're 18, 19, and they're starting to take over, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What do you say people are calling you out here? Are you Papa Chris?
Yes.
You're getting a reputation, a good one.
I am. I've known all these kids. You know, I've been part of the 4-H program ever since the kids were young enough to start, and been on the council and the swine superintendent for several years. So yeah, the kids, they'd like to come up and hug me, and they'll call me Papa Chris as they run.
That's cute. I love it.
Yeah.
See, you're building those relationships. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, good job today. Awesome.
Well, thank you.
So we're not going to do our normal question because we're going to do a kiss the pig challenge. Do you like the sound of that challenge?
So, not really, but you know, if it's all in good humor and good fun and it makes somebody laugh, we'll do it, you know. And that all started last year. We did the fundraiser for the 4-H Council.
Yes.
And it was a kiss the pig. So the winning bidder got to choose which council member got to kiss a baby pig.
Oh, and, baby. That's cute, though, at least.
Yeah. Except I didn't know that one of our customers was actually in the stands, and he thought it would be hilarious to watch his banker kiss a pig. So after several chuckles, I finally realized who was doing the bidding and realized I was just kind of in for it. So that's where that all came from. I don't usually make a habit out of kissing pigs.
That's not the norm.
No, that's where it starts. But
okay.
It's all in good fun, and we'll do it. So,
well, thanks for agreeing to be part of the challenge.
Oh, of course, of course.
It's time for Kiss the Pig Challenge. Chris, are you ready for this?
I'm ready for a nap is what I'm ready for. It's been a week.
You can put in the pig pen, take a nap.
You betcha. I'm done. I'm out. I'll see you later.
That's what you got.
Good night.
Okay, Birch is giving us a chance to try some of the beef sticks here at the fair, and we're so excited. Chris, what kind did you pick?
We picked jalapeno cheddar, which is always kind of my favorite.
So. Your favorite?
Yep.
Okay. Cheers.
See you, cheers.
That must...
Oh, dear.
That's delicious.
That's pretty good.
Huh? Okay, rate the beef stick.
On what scale?
One being the least. Good. Five being amazing. Three being in the middle.
I'm going to give it five.
I'm going to give it a five, too. You should come get these if you're up at the Chattern Fair, because at Dawes County, they are delicious. Yep. And this place is called Wyatt Family Meats, right? Thank you for letting us film you today. Say hi to the camera for us, Butch. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today out at the fair. And thanks, Chris. You did such a great job. Appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Anytime. Happy to help.
Thank you so much. Don't forget to fill out our survey and win a great prize. See you next time. Thank you. We'll be right back.